Oh, thanks for being here today. It's always good to be gathering together for worship and making much of God. It's been a great weekend. I see a lot of people in here that were part of the men and women's retreat. Thank you so much for being a part of that. Thank you for inviting us, Jeff, to be a part of that. And Jessica, we appreciate it. And we were encouraged. I hope you were encouraged and just need to see what God's doing here at Authentic Life. I'm just impressed about what God's doing here. I can't imagine what it's like to start a new church. I've been part of a church for a long time. I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor back in the day, but I've never been a part of a church that just started from scratch. And that is amazing. So Jeff, way to go. And Jessica, proud of you. Like we said earlier, Jeff was at Antioch. I mean, how old are you now? 41? 41. So I was there 2 years prior to your birth. We've been at Antioch a long time. He's a mess today. He was a mess back in the day. He's always been a mess, but love him. I love his passion, his desire to serve God. I always tell him he married well. Jessica, thank you for marrying him and helping him to get through what he's gone through. But it's been good. I listened to your message last Sunday, and I just love your energy and your passion with the gospel. And you're a good preacher, man, so you get after it up there. But I just like the way you get after it and to be a part of it. So we're thankful. My wife, Judy, glad to have her here with us. We have 4 children that are grown, and we have 7 grandchildren that are getting grown. They go by quick. And so it's neat to be part of that family. We're part of Antioch Bible Baptist Church. We've been there at Antioch. We've been there since 1979. Our heart was, we're from Oregon and Idaho. She's from California. We met in Idaho. Her dad was a dairyman, and she was a dairyman's daughter. My dad moved there to be a pastor of that church. I kind of shared the story with our other folk the other day. I just was sitting in church that about second or third Sunday, and I had met a guy named Dan, and the choir would walk up from the side here in the front, and I just looked and saw Judy. I said to Dan, "Who is that?" I didn't know her name or not. I said, "Who is that?" And that's Judy Skelling. And so next week I was in the choir and being a part of the choir, and just from then on, it's been 46 years of marriage, and love you. Thank you for all your encouragement to me. Again, I get just for Charles and Tina, thank you for all you did to make that event what it was as well, and for those of you who attended. It was so significant and so important. I heard a public speaker say a number of years ago, be bright, be brief, and be gone. And so maybe I will hope how long this will go. So we're just going to together jump in. If you have your Bible this morning, 2 Timothy, I'm honored to be able to continue the series you have, Be Strong. Look at 2 Timothy. Stand with me, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 12. I think it's going to be on the screens. We'll read it together. It's good to read the Word of God together as a church. So I'll read and you can follow along on the screens. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor me of his prisoner, but share in the sufferings for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us into a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege today to be at Authentic Life Church. I thank you for each person in this room, those who are serving with our kids' ministry, that today would be that defining moment day, that God, we're drawn closer to you. We thank you for your living word. And so use this passage, use your word to challenge us, to encourage us. I would even say to convict us. And use this time, God, this valuable season for us to gather as a church. Use these moments, God, to make much of your name. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit. And I just ask a blessing on Authentic Life. Encourage each person in this room. We all have those pressure points and just stuff in life. And so I just pray, God, that you would encourage and provide. God, grow this church. Use this church to make much of your name, we pray. We said in Jesus' name, and together we said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. In a book, Don't Waste Your Life, John Piper, the author, recounts a story of two missionary women, Ruby and Lauren, who died in April of 2000 in Cameroon, West Africa. Ruby was over 80 years of age. She was single all of her life and invested her life for so many years in that particular part of the world. Laura was a widow, a medical doctor pushing about 80, who served with Ruby in Cameroon. Together, they were a team. They were on a trip. Their brakes failed. The car went over a cliff, and they both were killed instantly. Two lives driven by one great passion to spend their lives making their lives for the glory of God and Jesus Christ. And so John Piper in his book asked the question, were their lives wasted? Ruby and Laura, in their 80s, were their lives wasted by dying? And then what happened after that? What took place? What was the difference? He answers, no, these lives were not wasted. Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Piper continues in his book, and he says, I will show you how to waste your life. And he considers a story from Reader's Digest about a couple who both took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast. He was 59 years old. She was 51 years old. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise with their 30-foot boat, they play softball, and they collect shells. This was their dream. Come to the end of your life, your one and only precious God-given life, and the last great work of your life before you give your account to the Creator, be this, playing softball and collecting shells. So picture this couple before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells. See my boat. See my softball games. Piper concludes, that is a tragedy. And the point is, for us in this room, don't waste your one and only life. God's given you breath. God's given you purpose. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Last week, Jeff did a great job giving the dynamics of what was taking place in 2 Timothy with the Apostle Paul. He was in prison for the sake of the gospel. Most writers believe he was probably in his late 60s. And some would conclude that here's the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. He's some 60 years old. And maybe he just wasted his life now in prison. But Paul was confident and encouraged Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to be ashamed. Paul believed that the gospel was something worth living for and even for dying for. You see, living your life for the glory of God and for the gospel, that is not a wasted life. I want to encourage you today, if you look at this passage, that by God's grace, we'll determine to live our life in a way that makes much of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, church, life is really, really short. Short. It goes by really, really fast. And so what are you going to do with your life in the years that you have? How's God going to use your life and direct your life in ways that can make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ? And Paul wants to encourage Timothy. Timothy, just stay in the game. All right? Stay in the game. So I'm going to, as we look at today, Paul defines and Paul speaks to us with, I believe, three gospel priorities. Three gospel priorities. The first priority is be courageous for the gospel. The second would be confident in the gospel, and then be committed to the gospel. Let's pick it up here first. Be courageous for the gospel. We'll look here at verse 8 of chapter 1. Therefore, and the word therefore is always a word of summation from the previous seven verses that Jeff taught last week. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. And he said, don't be ashamed of me as a prisoner. Right? Don't be ashamed of me as a prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. By the power of God. And so what Paul is doing, he's encouraging Timothy. As Timothy was timid, Timothy didn't have a lot of confidence. And so he's encouraging him to be confident. And that's why in verse 6 and 7 of the previous verses, Paul reminds Timothy what God can do. He did not give you, he said, a spirit of fear, but he gave you the spirit of power and of love and of self-control. That word power is a word that inspires us to do something that maybe we couldn't even think we could do. We think about not only the power, but how love, and that love is a motivator. Isn't love a motivator, church? Just kind of shake your, you can shake your head at me. Love does motivate us. And he said, it's love I've given you. Serve the heart of Jesus. Self-control speaks of the fact that you can stay in the game. You can endure and be faithful in the gospel. And so Paul challenges Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. The word ashamed means, and has this connotation, a reluctance to do something out of fear or embarrassment. Maybe there's times in your life where you've been ashamed. Maybe in a conversation, maybe ashamed of your attitude or your actions. And so he says to Timothy, I know you're timid. I know you're not really confident, but I don't want you to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God through faith by salvation to everyone, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul was bold with the gospel. He wants Timothy to be bold with the gospel. He's challenging him to share in the sufferings of the gospel. To share in the sufferings of the gospel. Open Doors is a persecuted church organization. You may be aware of that, Open Doors. And they every year put out what's happening around the world with regard to persecution. Just this last year, 360 million Christians, listen church, 360 million Christians this past year experienced high levels of persecution for their choice to follow Jesus Christ. Almost 400 million people around the world persecuted for the cause of Jesus Christ. One in seven, they say, one in seven Christians worldwide experience high levels of persecution. In the year 20, this year we're in, the year of 2021, 5,898 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons. Almost 6,000, listen to that, church, almost 6,000 people around this world for the gospel of Christ gave their lives for Christ. Think about that. Think about the people who give their life for Christ. I want to encourage us here in Tucson at Authentic Life, let's be that kind of a church, amen? Let's be that kind of a church. Now, it's getting challenging in America. Things have changed big time in the last couple, 3 or 4 years. It's a different world that we live in, a different world. And so as Christians, it's not time to hunker down and just kind of be quiet. It's time for us to, by God's grace, to step into people's lives with love, with encouragement, and with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? The gospel is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They go on to say nearly over 5,000 churches and other buildings were attacked last year. Almost 4,000 Christians were abducted for faith-related reasons. So we see around our world things that are happening. And even in America here, we're seeing a lighter persecution of judgment and who you think you are and all these things that are happening. And so we live in a different environment, but by the grace of God, we move out toward them by grace. Amen. And God's going to use your story. He's going to use where you don't live where you live by accident. You're not part of this church by accident. And God's going to use your lives to make a difference in the lives of others. And so he challenges him with the gospel. The gospel is the good news. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that it's the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. And he said it is of utmost importance that we challenge and we live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the word gospel was a secular term before it was a biblical term. It's the Greek term euangelion. The euangelion, the Romans, the euangelion was, it's the best news possible. And so if a Roman conquered a certain region of the world, it was the euangelion. It was the best news possible. If it was the emperor's birthday, it was the euangelion. It's the best news possible. It's his birthday, and it better be happy or not. You might be killed. So it's just that, it's that picture of the best news possible. And so this secular term is used by the first century Christians to say, it's the gospel. Jesus preaches that in Mark. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that makes the difference in the lives of others. We never graduate from the gospel. The gospel isn't the ABCs of Christianity. The gospel is the XYZ of Christianity. It's everything. It's not when you come to faith in Jesus Christ that somehow the gospel just stops. We're saved by the gospel because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But now by God's grace, we live out the gospel. Amen? We live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been said this, the gospel equation is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I love that. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Tim Keller, a writer I follow, says this about the gospel. He says, the gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. In this room today, I don't know everybody personally here, but the gospel's for you. As a believer, it's for you in this room who have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, the gospel is for you, the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the call upon his name. If we call upon his name, he hears us and he saves us. Not something that we do. It's not about our works. It's about the gift of God's grace at work in our heart and in our life. And so no one is more influential in your life than you are. Than you are. Because no one talks to you more than you do. And as a result, we need to daily preach the gospel to ourselves. I don't know about you, but I can put myself down. It's not out loud talking, but in myself, man, you can't get this done. You're not good enough. You don't speak enough, whatever. You start putting all this stuff into you, and you're just putting garbage in there. Garbage in, garbage out, right? And so be thinking, no, it's the gospel. It's the goodness of God's grace. Every day we share the gospel. I like what Tim Tebow, we were driving here from Kansas City. We have some family in Colorado, Denver, and Durango, so we made the big loop, and we had a podcast, and I like what Tim Tebow said. He said, every day we share the gospel, and every now and then we use words. I thought that was interesting. Every day we share the gospel. You may not even be knowing how you're sharing it. Maybe by your actions in your work environment, in your family dynamic, we gotta live out the gospel, amen, church? To live out the gospel. And I love what he says. Every day we share the gospel, and every now and then we use words. And we need to use words, amen, to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so not only does Paul encourage him and challenge him to be courageous for the gospel, but he also says, secondly, be confident in the gospel. Not only be courageous for it, but be confident in it, church. I want you to be confident in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what the word says here in this next section, starting in verse 9. It's one long sentence. Who saved us? That means God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Verse 10. And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. And so Paul writes here to encourage Timothy and says, be courageous for the gospel and then be confident in the gospel. God has called you as a believer to a holy calling. That holy calling speaks of a holy work in our lives, The word holiness has the idea of not somebody that's just so whatever, you know, it's this holy person out here. The idea of holiness really communicates what we call sanctification, where God is in the process of changing our lives every day. We mentioned it at the retreat. Sometimes for me, it's just sanctification. Sometimes for me, it's 1, 2, 3 steps forward in my life and moving forward in Christ. And then sometimes it's 1, 2 back. And it's just a constant going and growing. The Bible talks about justification. Justification is that declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. It's a done deal. Boom. But holiness and growing And sanctification is a lifelong process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And church family, that should be our goal, amen, to be more and more like Jesus and to grow in the goodness of him. It's a going process. And so when Jesus saved you from the power of sin, he saved you and I to holiness. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, he began that process in our life to make us more and more like Jesus. I like what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, don't be squeezed, Bob, into the mold of this world. Don't be conformed to that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what renews our mind, church family, amen? This book right here. Are we together today? This book right here renews our mind. That's why we got to spend time in this book called the Bible. The living word of God changes lives. Changes lives. The holiness of God. The core meaning of holiness is this idea and thought, different, distinct, or set apart. The word holy is used some 235 times in the New Testament alone. So God desires for us by his grace to live a life that is holy. And it's an ongoing process of life, ongoing process of sanctification. In his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, Jerry Bridges writes, holiness is nothing less than conformity to the character of God. That God is working in your life, in my life, to make us more like Jesus, to develop the character of God in our life, and be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all by God's grace, amen? We're saved by grace, not by works. You know, it's not what we can do to work our way in that. It's only what God can do for us. And in this verse 10, he reminds us about this word of to abolish in verse number 10, in which he now has manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That word abolish has the meaning to declare inoperative, to nullify. It means that there's no more death. It means this, not we're going to have a physical death, but death no longer has its sting. It's the idea here that it doesn't mean death is non-existent, but death is impotent. Death, as a believer, when we die, we live again. Amen? We live again. We just had a 40-year-old gentleman. I think you knew Caleb very well in youth student ministry. I think I shared some of that in our retreat that was doing some Jeep stuff. He just got back from Colorado doing all this Jeep stuff with people, and that's what he does. And he's a medical doctor. And we're down in the part of Kansas doing some things, and just something went wrong going down with the Jeep, just something that should have happened. It rolled over, and just there was nothing physically wrong with him. The guy got to him. There was nothing wrong with his body, but something must have been internal. And right there at that place, he went to be with Jesus. Yeah. So we know that family. They'd be coming to our church, to Hopkins, forever in our church. And just the Bible talks about the sting of death. It hurts, doesn't it? I would say in this room today, we've all experienced someone in our life that we love and cared about that no longer is with us. And we understand the weight of that and the grief with that. But we have the living hope in Christ. Amen? Death is not the end. You know, to be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. Present with the Lord. It's all a result of the gospel. And so he says it's been abolished. Death is impotent. Jesus takes the power of sin. He takes the power of sin. Death is swallowed up in victory, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then in verse 10 as well, he says, Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, meaning he's now given us a new life in Jesus Christ, a new life in Christ, a new life in Christ. And I would say even a new quality of life in Christ. I would hope your life is better now as a Christ follower than it was prior to having Christ in your life. Amen, church? hope we should, it should, our life should be better. Now, it's not going to be always easier, right? There's always going to be challenges in life. Sometimes it's even hard, but he's faithful. He's with us. He's with us. In verse 11, Paul says, I was appointed and given an assignment by God. He says, as a preacher, as an apostle, and a teacher. The word preacher here speaks of one who is bold with the gospel, who declares the gospel with confidence. He says, I was an apostle. I think you mentioned that last week about the apostles. There's no more apostles. There were 12 of them, all right, and described by Jesus. They have an apostle had a special significant assignment, emphasizing in that first century the authority of the gospel, spreading the gospel. He says, I'm a teacher. The idea of a teacher is to explain the gospel with clarity. It doesn't have to get fuzzy or, you know, blurry, that he communicates a teacher giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, be courageous for the gospel, be confident in the gospel, and be committed, number three, to the gospel in verse 12. He says, but I am not ashamed. Now he's challenging Timothy, don't be ashamed. He says, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he, Jesus, is able to guard until that day, capital D, day, the day when we see Jesus, and the day we're in heaven with him, which has been entrusted to me. The gospel has been entrusted to me. And so Paul emphasizes to encourage Timothy, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I think a question for us today in this room, are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed of praying maybe in a restaurant? Again, not to try to make some, but just that demonstrates the gospel. Are you ashamed that people know that you're a part of this church family? You know, some people come to church, like in our church, they come to church and they leave and it's like, it's just they're all on their own, right? You with me, gang, right? Not living it out. Are you living out the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you committed to the gospel? Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not ashamed for the sake of the gospel. He says, I know whom I have believed. Do you know whom you believe? It's Jesus, amen? And what he's done for us on the cross, he said, I know whom I have believed. And I would say today, do you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Has there been that defining moment in your life when you said yes to Jesus? Yes to Jesus. My dad and my mom were in Florida. I was born in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. My dad was not a believer. My mom was not a believer. And we had a neighbor in our neighborhood named Bud DeVar. And Bud DeVar began to invite my dad to church. So my dad started going to, my dad was a cement finisher and started going to church. And he would go on a Sunday night, and before he went to church, my dad would stop at the local corner bar and drink a couple of beers and then go to church. He did that for months, you know, needed something under, you know, get there. And we call that conviction. When you came to Christ, you know, there's a convicting work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so for a number of months, my dad would stop at that bar at the corner, have a couple of beers, go hear the gospel. And then one night before going to church, he was at that bar. And at that bar, on that bar stool, he pushed away his beer. And right at that moment, he bowed his head and asked Jesus to save him. He went to church that night, made that public to the pastor and to that church. He came home and told my mom. My mom wasn't super excited about that. My mom wasn't a believer. And my dad began to pray for my mom. He'd get on his knees and pray for my mom while she was in bed and prayed. And my dad led my mom to Jesus Christ. And then God just changed the entire trajectory of my dad's life. He was in his late 20s, early 30s, and he wanted to be a preacher and went to Bible college to be a pastor. We moved to Kansas City, and my dad had an idea to go out to the west, to Oregon, and to smaller towns and establish a church. And so we moved to Oregon, Bates, Oregon, 300 people in Bates, Oregon. My dad pastored two churches, one in Bates, Oregon, and then up in another place I can't remember the name of that area there. That was a farming area, ranching area. Unity. It was from, so my dad preached two different churches on a Sunday. So I heard the gospel. And my point is, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I saw my dad live out the gospel. My dad wasn't perfect for sure. My mom wasn't perfect for sure. But when I was 16 years old, my dad led me to Jesus Christ through the gospel. Judy was going to our church. My mom led Judy to Jesus. We have four children by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God. Two sons, two daughters who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. We have seven grandchildren who have, we may have what, one, two, three, four, five, six of them maybe have come to Christ as grandchildren. Maybe all of them now are. I think all of our grandchildren, seven, have come to faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel. What's the point, Bob? The point is that guy named Bud. Are you tracking with me, church? That neighbor, Bud DeVar, invited my dad to church to hear the gospel, and it changed the entire trajectory of our life. Are we connecting, church? Amen. Isn't that amazing what God can do? And I'm sure there's stories right here in this room, how God put somebody in your life to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't, today could be that defining moment to say yes to Jesus, to call upon his name, to say, God, I am a sinner. I recognize that. I recognize you died on the cross for my sins. And today I say, God, would you save me? I repent of my sin. I turn away from that. I say, Jesus, come into my life. Save me. That's what Paul is talking about here, the significance and the power of the gospel. He was convinced of the gospel, convinced of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I like that phrase, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day. It's like we don't lose it. You don't lose the gospel. You don't lose your salvation. We're secure in Jesus Christ. He's reminding Timothy, you're secure in the gospel. You're secure in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That word guard is a military term, like a soldier on watch. And God is guarding the gospel. He entrusts the gospel to us. He deposits the gospel to us in our lives. And so our security as authentic life, our security as Antioch Bible Baptist Church is not a church creed. It's not membership, it's not baptism, it's not catechism, it's not a religious system, but it's a person, and his name is Jesus. That relationship in Jesus Christ. Peter wrote these words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that never fades away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We have this living hope, church, and our living hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. And he has a place prepared for us, a place that is guarded for us. The gift of eternal life is a gift beyond imagination, isn't it? To know that we can have a secure relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ and by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You're not part of authentic life by accident. You may be a guest today, and welcome to our church family. You just didn't drop in here by accident, but as you're here today, what about your life? As a Christ follower, would God encourage you, say, I want to step in and just live my life in a way that makes much of Jesus Christ? We all have different personalities. We all have different abilities. We all live in different neighborhoods. We have different family dynamics, all those things. So be who you are in the person of Jesus Christ, that God will use your life. He wants to use your life to make a difference in the lives of others, in the lives of others. So he encourages Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Authentic life, you're not in a part of this church by accident. I want to encourage you, Pastor Jeff and Jessica and your church family, by the grace of God, that you continue to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. that God wants to use you and is using you to make a difference. I'm looking forward to coming back here in 4 or 5 years, not here, but maybe somewhere else. You know, and again, the church is not about a building. The church is people, but they have a place that you know is your place. I'm so encouraged by what God is doing here. I know you guys maybe feel, I've never experienced what you've experienced to start a new church. I just want to say thank you for just staying in the game and being part of this local church. I would say don't give up. Jeff, you've been here, and some of you have been here for almost coming up 8 years, right, in January. Thanks for staying in the game, man. We're thankful we can be a part of what's happening here in a small part to encourage you and Jessica and what God is doing. And so I would say this today, by God's grace, determine to be a gospel-centered life. A gospel-centered life. Because the gospel is the best news. It's the best news possible to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Make your life count. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter anything. It just God says, I want to use you to make a difference in the lives of others. So don't sell yourself short. Amen? Be who God made you to be. I'm not Jeff. Thank God for that. I'm who I am, all right? And we're all, you're who you are. I just love the dynamic of the local church, how it all works together. The different people in this room, to be part of the body of Christ is a great, great gift. The writer of Hebrews put it this way in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and what would derail us in our life and ensnare us, and let us with endurance run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy of what he experienced in his suffering, that you and I could have a relationship with him. So in authentic life, by God's grace, I want to encourage you. My wife wants to encourage you. Stay faithful. Be encouraged. God loves you. Okay, he cares about you and what you're going through in life. That God would use you to make a difference here in this community for the cause of Christ.